Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw Count Out. Larson, take it from here.
Were you holding your breath?
In front of my, it was like Chocolate Rain. Remember that guy? He said, he turns his head away from the mic to take a breath.
I don't remember that.
Do you never watch the Chocolate Rain video?
Chocolate Rain.
Really?
I don't think so.
I was holding my breath in order so that I wasn't breathing into the mic.
No, you know, these mics aren't that sensitive. You just could have looked it the other way.
Yeah, I know. Like Chocolate Rain did.
Anyways, this is a count out. It's the only top 10 countdown type show right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. You'll also find this show and all our programming wherever fine podcasts are available, including the CastBox app.
Oh, man, love that CastBox app.
Got a great, great partnership with CastBox.
Oh, man.
If you haven't checked it out, please do so. We're also available anywhere else you find podcasts. We're also on the Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. You know about the Patreon by now.
On the CastBox, somebody just left a comment, which you should do as well because we're on the road to 1,000 comments.
Yeah.
Slugmeister said Luchando for champ.
Luchando.
I said, not so fast, friendo.
What about thanks?
No. He doesn't get a thanks, friendo.
Luchando should be
Luchando's trying to take my job.
Luchando is he's money.
ProWrestlingTees.com/going-in-raw.
Yeah. Anyways, we did another episode talking about the let me backtrack a little bit. CM Punk has a fight today.
Today. Tonight. Could be happening
so
right
that
now.
So I got us to thinking about other professional wrestlers who have done MMA or MMA fighters who have done professional wrestling.
True.
Those who have done well in both endeavors and those who have not. We did another video, which is also up right now.
Up right
about
now.
Those who have not.
Yeah.
This is the video about those who have done well in both the worlds of professional wrestling and mixed martial arts.
True Renaissance men and women.
True fight.
Rem.
Fight sports competitors across the board.
Let me ask you something, Larson.
What?
One name that I will mention right now that is not on this list. And the people are going to want to know why.
Oh, okay.
Rowdy Ronda Rousey. Why is she not on this list?
She's only had one professional wrestling bout.
It's a damn good one. It's the best. It was the highlight of this year's WrestleMania.
Still, it's one match.
Jury's out still?
Exactly.
All right, fair
She's
enough.
She's going to have her first one-on-one match at Money in the Bank on June 17th. And if she performs as well at that match as she did at WrestleMania, then I'll be forced to reconsider excluding her from this list. But for right now, she's off.
It's for good because we're probably never going to do this list again. Number 10.
10.
Speaking of Ronda Rousey, let's talk about our friend Shayna Baszler.
Yeah.
I love Shayna Baszler. She's the tops.
Yeah, she's been doing great work in NXT since she signed with WWE after Mae Young Classic. She was a runner-up in that tournament.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of her MMA track record, she finished her career with a record of 15-11.
Mm-hmm.
By my calculations, that is a winning record.
I'm pretty sure that's above 500.
Yes, across multiple promotions, including Elite XC. Remember Elite XC?
I do. They had that Kimbo. Man, talk about somebody who should have been in pro wrestling. Kimbo Slice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's dead, though.
Oh, yeah.
Sadly.
I know.
He seemed like a sweet guy.
I know.
Yeah.
Remember you made that guy's ear explode?
In Elite XC?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Elite XC, I believe, became Strikeforce, right?
Oh, I don't know. Did they?
I thought that was the case.
Oh,
I could be wrong. Anyways, Shayna Baszler also fought for Strikeforce and the UFC. She won the titles in several promotions, not the UFC, but she won the Bantamweight Championship and Freestyle Cage Fighting, as well as the 140 pounds women's title in The Cage, Inc., and then, she transitioned into pro wrestling. She's wrestled for various promotions. I think she's wrestled for, did she wrestle for APW out in the Bay Area, I think?
Ooh, I want to say yes.
I want to say yes, too. Anyways, she's won several titles, including championships in Absolute Intense Wrestling, Premier Wrestling, Quintessential Pro Wrestling, and, of course, she is the current NXT Women's Champion.
That is maybe my new favorite name for a pro wrestling outfit, Quintessential Pro Wrestling.
It's good.
That's great, man. QPW.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But yeah, as you said, she's great. She's been doing awesome work, character work, in-ring work.
I think she's
in WWE.
She's a worthy successor to Asuka. I know that Ember Moon was between them, but Ember Moon oddly came off as sort of a transitional champion when you see, who sort of was bookended her. I mean, she was just given the... No, wait, what did they do for that women's... It was a tournament?
What?
For the women's title.
Shayna Baszler beat Ember Moon for it.
No. When Ember Moon won it.
Oh, it was a triple threat match?
Was it a triple threat
match? Or a fatal four-way match.
I forget. Yeah, it was a fatal four-way match. Four-way. That's right. Yeah.
And she did the eclipse on two people.
Oh, that's right. That was fun.
On Nikki Cross and Peyton
Royce
Ruby Riott.
And Ruby Riott and Ember Moon.
Ruby Riott for that's the right. title.
Anyways. And then, she dropped it to Shayna Baszler, who has been doing a wonderful job. I really love her character work. She's, sort of a mean bully type there in NXT, dominating the women's division.
Yeah.
Her match with Nikki Cross at TakeOver should be a lot of fun.
Yes.
So I'm really looking forward to that.
Same.
And, she had a stellar MMA career. So she's got what you like to say, the bona fides.
Yes.
And I'm very much looking forward to the day she crosses paths. The day she crosses the path of Ronda Rousey.
Yes.
On the main roster.
Yes.
That should be a lot of fun.
Will be a lot of fun.
Number nine.
Nine.
Alberto Del Rio. He was on the other list.
Yeah, he was. Using the same still, which is probably the low point of his MMA career when he got knocked out by Crow Cop.
Yeah.
In like 45 Mirko seconds.
Crow Cop.
With a head kick.
Yeah.
Despite that, he actually finished his MMA career with a 9-5 record, including a 6-fight win streak.
Wow.
By my calculations, that is a winning record.
I'm pretty sure that is a winning record.
And if you look at his wrestling accomplishments on paper, I mean, it's pretty great. He is a 2-time WWE champion, a 2-time world heavyweight champion, and a 2-time U.S. champion. That's just in the WWE.
Man.
In Impact, he was the GFW Global Champion and the Unified GFW World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
And that's not to mention other titles he's won around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so good for Alberto Del Rio. I like to see Alberto do well.
If he just had that intangible, that it factor when it came to pro wrestling, because we saw that.
I wonder if it's the kind of thing that doesn't translate on TV, but does live.
Because
if you think about it, here's the thing. All that stuff you just mentioned, that's all stuff. I wonder if he got that, all those accomplishments in wrestling, because behind the scenes, he's such a damn charming guy.
I don't know.
That'll do it. If you can charm people.
But I think that only goes so far.
Evidently not. What else explains it then, man?
I don't know.
Come on now. Anyways. Alberto had a solid MMA record. Like you said, on paper.
On paper, a pretty good pro wrestling career. May not have translated into box office or merch sales.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we saw him at that Impact house show out in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And he definitely had that it factor. He was intense.
Engaging.
He was passionate. He seemed like he was having fun. Engaging, yes. And yet that never really came across in any of his WWE work.
Really weird.
Kind of weird.
Anyways, moving on. Number eight.
Eight.
Josh Barnett.
Speaking of accomplished mixed martial artists.
Look at that. What did you do? That dude showed up in front of you doing that with his
neck. I'd run the other way.
Probably a good idea.
His official MMA record is 35-8.
Wow.
And he beat one of the few people to beat Dan Severn.
Wow.
Did so in 2000. And then he also beat Randy Couture 2 years later. He is the youngest UFC heavyweight champion. He won it at the age of 24.
Oh, wow.
He's also a Pancrase openweight champion. He doesn't have the pro wrestling accomplishments of, say, Alberto Del Rio, in terms of title victories and whatnot.
He's JR's partner now.
Yeah,
on
but
Access.
In terms of the breadth of what he's done in the pro wrestling industry, it's pretty impressive. Because
he's well respected, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is he has wrestled. He wrestled in New Japan. He wrestled in Impact and in Antonio Inoki's promotion as well. And at one point, he challenged Yuji Nagata for the IWGP heavyweight title in the main event of Wrestling World 2003, which was kind of the one of the precursor shows to what would eventually become Wrestle Kingdom, the January 4th Tokyo Dome show. He headlined one of those.
Okay, well, there you go.
That's a huge accomplishment.
That's massive. I've never done that.
These days, he trains. He trains professional wrestlers. Mm-hmm. One of his most notable alumni, Shayna Baszler, mentioned a couple entries ago. Ooh. And as you just mentioned, he does commentary for New Japan's Access broadcast along with good old JR Jim Ross.
Mm-hmm.
So his actual in-ring accomplishments might not be as impressive as other people on this list, considering the breadth of what he's done in both the world of MMA and pro wrestling. Felt like I had to include him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's a wise choice. Well done. And well done, Josh Barnett.
Yes.
Number seven.
Seven.
Shinsuke Nakamura. Look at him there.
Wow.
It looks like somebody took this from like several tears up.
It looks like it's like a digital zoom, not optical, digital. So Nakamura, he was doing the MMA thing kind of in conjunction with his early run in New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
He only had four professional fights. Five professional fights. He lost his first one.
Okay.
And then didn't lose another one.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
So it was a small sample size, but yeah. It seemed like he was heading in the right direction.
Okay.
Around the time that he was wrapping up his MMA career is when he won his first IWGP heavyweight title.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just one of three reigns with that belt. He's also a five-time IWGP Intercontinental Champion and a two-time NXT Champion and might very well become WWE Champion
the next
in
WWE
a couple
champion.
Weeks.
Yeah, wow.
So, again, his MMA career isn't as vast as some other people's on this list, but based on the limited success he had and the small sample size, as well as the tremendous success he's enjoyed in the pro wrestling world,
mm-hmm.
got to put him on.
Oh, for sure. No, absolutely. Look, if he was doing this MMA stuff while still sort of doing the wrestling stuff, who knows what his record could have been had he focused solely on the MMA instead of the wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
He could have had a lot more wins.
Yeah, he could have.
Yeah,
it's been interesting to see
losses.
How his experience in the MMA world has influenced his wrestling style. He employs cross-arm breakers, which is a wrestling hold, I know, too, but mm-hmm. it's also pretty prominent in
well,
the world of MMA.
He's a heavy striker.
Yes, a heavy striker, but also he'll employ the triangle at times. Again, MMA maneuver.
Yeah. Also, king of the low blow.
Yeah.
Also heavily used in old UFC.
I didn't think they could do that.
Wasn't it like no rules back in the day?
Well, there were some rules.
I think that they were allowed to kick people in the
balls. Well, if that was the case, then everybody should have done that right away, then full mount.
Well, no, they wore cups.
Punches.
They wore cups.
Well, even still, a cup only does so much.
Yeah. Have you ever taken like a full kick to the balls with a cup on?
I've taken a full kick to the balls with no cup on.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Like, wear a
no,
cup.
But I've taken a baseball to the nuts with a cup on.
Oh, yeah. Feel good?
No. No, not at all.
Well, I don't know. Look, man, I just remember UFC. It was okay to like rip people's faces off.
That never happened.
And kill people.
No.
So I think that did. I heard about it when I was a teenager. Have you heard about this UFC thing?
Those are called urban myths.
Yeah, I heard about it. Saw a guy's face get ripped off. You did? Well, I know somebody who did. You know somebody got his face ripped? No, I know somebody who saw it.
Don't think you did.
Don't think you did. Let's go watch some Robotech. Number six.
Six.
Matt Riddle. What is that hair the dude's got?
That's
right
young
there.
Matt Riddle right there.
Young lion Matt Riddle.
Yeah, so Matt Riddle finished his MMA career with a record of 8 wins, 3 losses, and 3 draws or no contests. He is the winner of the Ultimate Fighter 7.
I wonder if I was still watching at the time. Me and Hilton used to love watching that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in the early days.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember watching the Kimbo Slice season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that the one where Rampage and Rashad Evans were the coaches?
Maybe.
I watched some of that one, too.
Maybe. I don't remember.
I don't remember either. That was a long time ago.
You don't have to look it up.
Did you?
In any event, Matt Riddle, he was, like you said, 8-3-3. He failed 2 drug tests, though. Marijuana.
Yeah.
Man loves weed. Or he did, anyways.
He did. So he was released after 2 failed drug tests. But according to Wikipedia, he finished his UFC career third in the entire history of the company
mm-hmm.
in takedown defense.
Wow.
In a relatively small sample size.
Yeah.
And 8th for total strikes landed. Jeez. That's pretty impressive for only, 11
kidding.
Or 12 fights, however many he had.
Yeah.
But then after that, he went on to the pro wrestling. He spent some time in a couple other promotions. Before going to pro wrestling, he's the current Evolve champ,
mm-hmm.
beating, I believe, Zack Sabre Jr. for that belt.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a 2-time Progress Atlas champion and a 1-time WWN champ. He, along with Jeff Cobb, Keith Lee, have really been taking the indie wrestling world by storm
mm-hmm.
over the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really impressive in such a short amount of time how good Matt Riddle has gotten at professional
it's,
wrestling.
It's insane how like yeah how good he's gotten in such a short amount of time. And he's one of the people that his name is always brought up when you know people want to know, hey, who's going to be going to NXT next? Who's going to be going to NXT next? Wouldn't surprise me if Jeff Cobb went there soon. He's under that Lucha Underground contract, mm-hmm. so it wouldn't surprise me.
Rumors say that Keith Lee is on his way.
Yeah, he should be on his way. Matt Riddle, I mean, I guess sort of the joke out there is, well, he really likes his freedom. meaning he, you know, in WWE, you get tested for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what he's doing now, you don't.
Yeah.
So he's free to live, you know, the marijuana lifestyle, mm-hmm. if that's what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And who can blame him for wanting people to be testing him all the time?
Yeah.
At the same time, if he wants to take his career to that level, to the WWE level, you know, and make the big, big money. Although he is one of those names that, you know.
I especially starting out, I don't know if he would necessarily see a massive pay increase or a pay increase at all.
No, it'd be a short term loss to go to NXT. But, mm-hmm. you know, once you get to the main roster,
yeah.
the sky's the limit.
But I think he's in a situation not quite the same as the Young Bucks. But
he's in the conversation.
He's in the conversation where he can set his own schedule.
Yeah.
Probably for the most part, name his own price.
Yeah, sure.
Live a very comfortable life,
mm-hmm.
traveling, working when he wants to. If he wants to take some time off, he can take some time off
mm-hmm.
and spend time with his family.
Yeah.
You know, if there's no real financial incentive for him to go to WWE right now,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't necessarily crave that huge stage that WWE has to offer,
mm-hmm.
why not?
Go? Yeah, no,
yeah, why go?
Yeah, sure. No, I completely agree with that. Jeff Cobb did. Did Matt Riddle go to Japan this past year?
No.
He didn't?
No.
Okay.
It was either rumor. I think it was rumor that he and Cobb, as Chosen Bros, were going to compete in World Tag League.
But then it ended up being Cobb and
Michael Elgin.
Oh, God, that's right. Sami Callihan teamed with Juice.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah. Who knows what that's all about. But, yeah, like you said, man, if he's one of those guys... And he does. I mean, he comes across as, like, you know, the most laid-back guy you'd ever meet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If he enjoys the lifestyle he leads and he's doing well for himself, why would he ever give it up?
Exactly.
There are some people out there who simply... See, I honestly think that the Young Bucks, I personally think they want the WWE experience on their own terms.
Yeah.
And now that they're basically skyrocketing to the level where they'll be able to set their own terms whenever they want... They have that in their back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I think conversely, there are some people out there, and I think Matt Riddle's one of them, who might just not give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, man, I'm having a good time, but I don't know the guy, so who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it would not surprise me at all if his name was mentioned for NXT at any point.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of what he wants to do because
exactly.
he is phenomenal.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I'll never forget the first time we saw him at a PWG show when there was a spot where I think it's Michael Elgin. Yeah. Had Jeff Cobb up in a vertical suplex.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He was doing squats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Matt Riddle is Jeff Cobb's tag team partner, and yet he's standing there, like, amazed
yeah.
at the feats of strength going on.
He was selling the crap out of it and engaging with the crowd. He's
yeah.
an absolute natural
yeah,
doing that stuff.
Yeah, he is. He really sure. is.
Number five.
Five.
Where is he? There he is. Bobby Lashley. So now he's having a not terribly fun run in WWE.
Yeah.
But this is coming off a really good run and a lengthy run in Impact Wrestling, TNA.
Which tied in with his MMA career.
It did, yeah. Towards the end there, it certainly did. And, you know, he has had, wow, a 15-2 MMA record. That's
yeah,
crazy
yeah.
good.
And he fought some in Strikeforce, I believe, so that's pretty mm-hmm. solid competition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's won championships in promotions called Shark Fights. And Extreme Fight Night.
Be cool if he fought sharks.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Be like Brock Lesnar. Where
wouldn't
F5
be cool
the
for the shark, man.
That's true.
Yeah, Extreme Fight Night. And then, of course, his pro wrestling accomplishments. Wow, listen to me talk. One-time WWE United States champion.
He fought for
two-time
Bellator, too.
ECW champion and four-time Impact champion. He fought for Bellator, right?
Bellator?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Most recently, the last 4 years, he's fought exclusively for Bellator, but in he did a couple fights for Strikeforce in 2010.
Boy, look at all of his 2-2-2. Yeah, he had a lot of one-round fights.
Mm-hmm.
Two, a couple three, just a small number of fives. One five-round fight. Wow. Yeah, no. So, Bobby Lashley. Like that. I mean, that was one of my favorite storylines when I was watching Impact. I might pick it back up. But was Bobby Lashley deciding whether or not he wanted to go back to MMA or stay in wrestling. It was a really, really well-done storyline. And yeah, I mean, talk about a crossover guy, MMA and wrestling. He's done it all.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's fantastic. Hopefully WWE will get their creative back in order.
I know.
And book him in something good. Maybe, you know what? Maybe it'll simply take... One match with Sami Zayn, Money in the Bank. They'll put on a killer match, and then that'll write the course.
I hope so.
Hopefully.
I hope so. I really do.
Number four.
Four.
Ken Shamrock. Oh, look at him, man. That's like old Ken Shamrock, too.
That's like Mickey Rourke and The Wrestler.
Yes, exactly. Look at that.
Wow.
Anyways, Ken Shamrock.
One of the legends.
A pioneer, man.
Yeah, a legend of mixed martial arts, as well as our gentlemen, a couple more gentlemen at the top of our list. Ken Shamrock compiled a career record of 28-17-2.
Mm-hmm.
And he has beaten a lot of legends of MMA, including Dan Severn, Masakatsu Funaki, who was one of the founders of Pancrase.
Yeah.
Boss Rutten.
Uh-huh.
Tito Ortiz. And then at one point, Ken Shamrock won the UFC Super Fight Championship from Dan Severn, to eventually lose it back to Dan Severn. If I remember correctly, they had one of the better rivalries in the early days of the UFC. When it came to professional wrestling...
Man, in his first... Hold on a second. In his first... So, I mean, the thing is, like, when you take a look at his record, 28-17, you have to understand that he went 19-4-1 to kick off his career.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where that dude just kept on fighting and kept on fighting. And, of course, the older you get, the more losses you're going to rack
up. Yeah, I mean, as we say, the turnover rate in MMA seems pretty high.
Yeah, because once you get into his later career, it's like, loss.
Yeah. So. He's more of a best of 500 fighter. As far as pro wrestling, he won the WWF Intercontinental title once.
Mm-hmm.
He's a one-time tag team champion. Do you remember who his tag team partner was?
Don't tell me. No.
You're on his Wikipedia page. You can check. It's Boss Man.
It's Boss Man.
And he also won the NWA title when he was in Impact.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He was like one of their first big name, big-ish name. Because by that time, it was, 2002? So it was like, I mean, here's the thing. I remember Shamrock was one of those guys who I think the WWF kind of slept on. It's not like he had the greatest promo skills.
No, but he was actually pretty good in the ring.
He was actually a damn good wrestler. He was a really good professional wrestler. And I think he was a solid IC guy because he was a good worker.
He had a decent feud with The Rock.
He had a decent feud with The Rock. He was usually out-charactered by people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Stone Cold... The characters back then were so freaking good and so well-rounded and so just distinct that a guy like Ken Shamrock, who was, you know, a meat and potatoes type character.
Yeah, but remember what they called him? The world's most dangerous man?
Yeah.
God, that was so good.
I know. It was really good. And they focus really heavily on the MMA stuff, and that was a good idea. But
they just should have not had him talk at all.
And he was far – I know. I agree. He was far more successful – than like Dan Severn was. Ken Shamrock seemed to really enjoy pro wrestling, and Dan Severn didn't.
Oh yeah.
But no, I do wonder that if they had emphasized. I do remember there was one time when he turned. I think he turned on the Ministry or something like that.
Yeah.
And people were popping big time for Shamrock, and they kind of dropped the ball on him a little bit. I think just because his ceiling in terms of character stuff was a bit on the limited side.
Yeah.
But he was really fantastic.
Yeah, he was.
But anyways, yeah, and you know, like you said, a pioneer in mixed martial arts.
Oh yeah,
so great stuff, Ken Shamrock. Number three, Brock Lesnar.
Speaking of sharks,
what the
is that? Heck? Is that from Shark Fights?
yes, it is. I wish, man.
Did the fights just take place on beaches?
Yeah,
public beaches.
Look at that little film camera back there. That's fantastic. Anyways.
Brock Lesnar has had a MMA career record of 5-3, but he's beaten some notable heavyweights in his short MMA career, including Randy Couture, who he beat for the UFC heavyweight title. He beat Frank Mir to avenge one of his early losses.
A fluke loss, yeah.
Yeah, and then Shane Carwin. Remember that fight?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was there was a lot of hype behind that one because people were wondering if Shane Carwin's going to be the guy to knock out Brock Lesnar.
He came I feel like he came close.
I thought he won the first round, didn't he?
Yeah, he was putting it to Brock, but Brock was just too big.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that because the thing about Brock was that for as big as he was, he didn't have the best chin in the world.
No.
That's why people thought that Mark Hunt was going to beat him.
Yeah, yeah. Because he has KO power.
And Brock danced around him for the longest time and then just sort of laid on him. It was a boring, terrible fight.
But probably strategically very smart.
Made total sense because Brock got the win from that.
Yeah.
Plus, he was caught on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not good either.
But I wonder what would have happened if Brock hadn't got diverticulitis.
Yeah.
And then force him to retire, at least for a bit, from... UFC,
mm-hmm.
and allowed him an opportunity to go back to the WWE,
mm-hmm.
Where he achieved more accomplishments. He's a four-time WWE champion.
He's
the current Universal Champion. He's had the belt for more than a year.
Is he? I haven't seen him lately.
Well, I mean, that's what it said in online that he was Universal Champion.
Oh, okay.
So I'm gonna take the internet at his word.
It's Wikipedia. What are you gonna
do? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Wikipedia, exactly.
Yeah, and he's also a weird one-time IWGP champion.
Yeah,
and that all ended up kind of weird too.
Yeah, that's all very convoluted and confusing. There was like a couple different IWGP heavyweight titles,
like a splinter promotion.
Yeah, it was Inoki's promotion.
Yeah,
I think.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah,
that was all weird. But I mean, look, you can't argue. The guy came to UFC. Besides that first fight against Miro, which ended in a crappy, tap out, he was dominant.
Mm-hmm.
He was dominant.
Until diverticulitis set him back quite a bit.
It would have been interesting to see what would have happened had he not gotten diverticulitis. How do you get diverticulitis?
I'm not sure.
Eat something weird?
Maybe.
Yeah?
Here. Give me a second.
How to get diverticulitis.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's find out. This is a public service. What foods trigger?
What's the main cause?
Oh.
When naturally weak places in your colon give way under pressure.
Oh, geez. Ouch.
Ouch.
What food should I eat if I have it? White rice, white bread, white pasta, dry, low-fiber cereals, processed fruits.
What food should one avoid?
And Twinkies.
Nothing to avoid the symptoms.
Can't avoid it, man. It's going to hit everybody eventually. Anyways, Brock Lesnar, reputation precedes himself. We don't
really
need to talk about him more. Number two.
Two.
Dan Severn.
Oh, look at that still.
Look at two old bastards.
Two legends.
Two legends.
Duking it out probably in their 50s.
Oh, man. Look at Severn. He's about to get just...
He's fine. His
brain
care.
Is going to get rattled.
He doesn't care. Guess what his career MMA record is, Steve? It's incredible.
136-5-3.
101-19-7.
Mine was a joke, but it wasn't far off.
He's won 101 professional fights. I was looking through his win-loss record. He fought 3 times in 3 weeks.
Jeez.
At one point, I think in 2007. It's insane. He is one of the first UFC superfight champions. He beat Ken Shamrock. Oh, sorry. He won it once. Lost to Shamrock, won it back from Shamrock. He is the only man to hold a UFC title and a pro wrestling title at the same time.
Man, that dude just fought 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wasn't he at a... He was at Matt Riddle's Bloodsport.
Mm.
WrestleMania weekend, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he was. He beat Chris Candido for the NWA title and held that belt for 4 years.
Jeez.
4 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
The third longest reign in the title's history. He won that belt twice. He showed up in WWF with that title.
Yeah.
Speaking of someone who was underutilized in WWF, but then again, I don't think he necessarily respected pro wrestling that much, given his comments about the Royal Rumble.
That's my favorite story.
Where he said he would just shoot win the thing. But he had one of the best theme songs.
He did.
Dun, 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 dun.
Hi, hi. So his MMA record kicked off. He went 35-3-3 to sort of, for his first whatever, however many years in the
what he lost to
in MMA.
MMA. Barnett. He lost to Shamrock and who else?
He lost to Mark Coleman. Okay. I remember Mark Coleman.
Yeah, I do too. Hoist Shamrock, Gracie. Everybody Hoist lost to Hoist Gracie.
Yeah. Man. And he had a draw against Jeremy Horn. Chemo, remember Chemo?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I remember Chemo and Pat Miletich. Anyways, Dan Severn, man. He was like remember when he came in the WWF with like all those titles? It was when they were doing like a weird NWA.
It was the NWA invasion. Yeah, invasion. It was the NWA title, yeah. Yeah. Wonder why he wasn't. They should have had him in Brawl for All. He would have won the whole thing.
Oh, I know, right?
That was around the same time as 98.
He was probably too. Look at that. He comes in looking like a bear. With a
sweaty
gray
t-shirt.
Shirt. And Cornette's behind him holding up all these titles. That's funny. Yeah, but again, so like he's a dude that definitely should not have talked.
Yeah.
Because when he talked, look, this dude is obviously like one of the greatest of all time, most intimidating dudes. But when he opened his mouth, it really didn't come off that way.
Oh, he was in the Brawl for All tournament. He defeated the Godfather in the first round, then withdrew.
Really? Does it say why?
Because he had nothing to prove. In a radio, this is all according to Wikipedia. In a radio interview,
great.
Severin asserted that WWF at first had not allowed him or Shamrock to compete in the tournament at all, and they removed him from the tournament after his victory over the Godfather. But then Steve Williams says Shamrock backed out and Severin withdrawing because of, quote, his frustration at the rules and the idea of having to wear boxing gloves.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So it wasn't really his thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Huh. Man.
Man, I want a documentary done on Brawl for All.
Yeah.
The whole thing is weird and fascinating.
I know. It's
so
amazing.
Strange.
I know. It's great.
And that's actually kind of... That's kind of when UFC was first picking up steam, was in the late 90s. That's interesting that WWE was really kind of at the forefront and trying to incorporate that kind of
right, yeah.
stuff, because usually they seem so reactionary.
Yeah. Let's see here. the bracket. Steve Blackman, Mark Marrow. Oh, Steve Blackman beat Mark Marrow. Bradshaw beat Mark Canterbury. Savio Vega beat Brakus. A draw with draws and Hawk. Road Warrior Hawk, that is. Bart Gunn beat Bob Holly. I'll have to go back and watch some of this stuff.
Oh, I know.
Steve Williams beat Quebecer Pierre.
We should do a Going in Raw view on Brawl for All.
Let's do it. That's
that would
good.
Be a lot of fun.
I like that a lot. Oh, man. It's, yeah, from June 29th. So it'd be
that's
20 years ago. We're on the 20-year
anniversary. All right. We should do that later this month. The Brawl for All retrospective coming later on this month.
Well done. Perfect.
Excellent. All right. Let's go number one. I'm excited to talk about.
Number one.
You got to do the thing over there, man.
Number one. Minoru Suzuki. Of course, you'd put him at number one.
Of course.
Above Dan Severin.
Yeah, man.
Look at Minoru Suzuki there staring down. He's like, yeah, you're doing a favor for me, Jushin Liger. Anyways.
He's the most dominant character in any video game ever. Steve is yet to beat me if I play as Minoru Suzuki in Virtual Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
His career MMA record is 30-19. By my calculation, that is very much a winning record. he started out his Pancrase career on a 7-fight win streak, beat Ken Shamrock twice.
Oh, goodness. What years did that happen?
Before Ken Shamrock was in UFC, around the same time he was starting in UFC. He's the only person to beat Ken Shamrock, I think, in like the late 90s twice.
Wait, before Shamrock was in UFC?
Around the same time as UFC, yeah.
When did Shamrock start in the UFC?
Late 90s? The UFC didn't start till, or like really start doing stuff.
I thought
late
Shamrock
90s.
Was like in the early days of the UFC.
Yeah.
When did the UFC start? My trip
started in 93, but they really started doing stuff in like 97.
Shamrock, Ken. Now I'm kind of curious about this. Well, I'm talking about early. I thought it was early. 93.
But that's not UFC.
No, Pancrase. UFC 1. 93, yeah. Oh,
okay.
He was early days.
Anyways, Suzuki beat him twice during that whole span of time.
No, you're right. It was Roy. That's interesting. Royce Gracie was his first loss. Minoru Suzuki was his second loss.
Yeah,
at Pancrase. There you go.
And then
that was in 94.
94. Okay, sorry, 94. I got my times mixed up. I apologize. And then he won
then again in 95.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So he Minoru Suzuki. Yeah. Step back.
You step back in the late 90s. I remember being in middle school, people talking about UFC, man. That's when it had. It wasn't like in the late 90s. It was in the early
90s. Yeah. I think it was the late 90s when I was first kind of exposed to it.
I was aware of it in the early 90s.
Yeah, I think I was too. But
that's
really
when people were
it.
Saying that faces were coming off.
But I was, but it was. I watched the stuff in the early 90s, like in the mid to late 90s.
Mm, okay, I got you.
That's probably what it was.
Did you see a guy have his face ripped?
No, although I heard that too, separately from you. So... That was something that was going around. Anyways, Minoru Suzuki won the second.
That was something that was going around.
King of Pancrase tournament, becoming the second King of Pancrase.
I love when you say Pancrase.
Pancrase.
It's such a weird word.
And then his pro wrestling accomplishments. Incredible. Dude's almost 50 years old, and you can just argue that he's at his peak right now.
I guess I kind of agree with that. But number one. When Dan Severn's on this list?
Dan Severn, yeah, he won the NWA title when the NWA title wasn't what it used to be.
Whoa.
All right.
Wow.
He won it from Chris Candido. This was after Shane Douglas essentially threw it in the trash.
Who's a better NWA champion, Nick Aldis or Dan Severn?
Well, Dan Severn had it for 4 years.
He had it for 4 years.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I think you might have got this one wrong. Dan Severn, number one.
No, Minoru Suzuki, number one in any list.
Is Severn if he qualifies. Is Severn in Virtual Pro Wrestling?
I don't know. I'll have to check.
Ooh, we should check that out.
He'll lose Minoru Suzuki, too.
Well, we're going to find that one
out. And
that'll
settle this.
Look at that.
And for all.
We've concocted all a bunch of different content that we can now create. Brawl for All retrospective. We need to hook up some shoot interviews with some of these Brawl for All guys.
Oh, that'd be great.
And ask them, do a proper retrospective.
That'd be great. A documentary, if you will.
Yeah.
Minoru Suzuki, his wrestling accomplishments. Here's a sample. In All Japan Pro Wrestling, he is a two-time Triple Crown heavyweight champion. In Pro Wrestling Noah, he is a one-time GHC champion. In New Japan, he's won the Never Open Weight title. And, of course, he just had a reign as Intercontinental Champion. He's also, I think, the Rev Pro Tag Team Champion with Zack Sabre Jr. currently.
Let me ask you something.
He's led one of the most dominant factions in wrestling history. Minoru Suzuki, he has the best theme song ever. Minoru Suzuki, number one. It's not even close.
When you were in junior high, did you have a picture of Minoru Suzuki in your locker?
I didn't have any pictures in my locker. Because I only had a locker for like seventh grade, and they took all the lockers out.
Can I get you a locker? That you can then, you can, because I feel like you should regret that. You should have a proper locker that's decorated.
Why not?
I had a picture of Paula Abdul.
Why not on my wall over there that's got nothing on it?
Yeah.
A mural of Minoru Suzuki.
See, I'll work on that. That's
kicking the face of a young lion.
That's perfect. Oh, it's all just that?
Yeah.
Or we can't just do other pictures of him as well, not kicking the face?
I want to fill up the entire wall with a picture of Minoru Suzuki kicking a young lion in the face. That's what I want to see.
All right.
That is your charge.
All right, sounds good.
You have until mid-August to complete this task.
What happens in mid-August?
Nothing. It's an arbitrary date.
All right. I will see what I can do about
that. Yes, Minoru Suzuki, number one. I mean,
no contest, no debate.
I mean, he co-founded one of the pioneer promotions in all of MMA.
Pancrase.
He was dominant in said promotion. Beat Ken Shamrock twice. No one else did that in that time period.
Yeah.
His pro wrestling accomplishments are fantastic.
Isn't Ken Shamrock in the Virtual Pro Wrestling?
Yeah,
oh,
I think so. And all even at the age of like 49, he's still awesome.
Yeah, he's pretty great.
He is fantastic. Yeah. And that's not to mention all the...
Do you even follow him on Instagram?
I follow him on Twitter.
He's a great Instagram follower.
I believe
that. Very fashionista type.
Yeah.
Very fashionable guy.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right, we're done with this.
Minoru Suzuki, number one.
Should be Dan Severn. Thank you for watching, everybody. We appreciate it. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. Hit one for Minoru Suzuki, two for Dan Severn. Till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.